This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Oh, lovely, lovely Matt Wade's just joined us. Good morning to you, mate.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning. Now, for those who don't know, Matthew Wade is the editor of Star Observer, probably our most important news rag.
One of the only national ones left, and one of the only ones just generally left. Yeah, yes. So maybe just by default,
and still in print, which is great.
Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah.
And of course, Matthew Wade is a regular on our show. Once a month, comes in and we do a bit of an in-depth discussion of what's taking place. Now, you've been busy in the last couple of weeks. I mean, between you and Jess writing all these stories, I mean, you must have RSI in your wrist.
Yeah. particularly, actually, over the last few weeks, because Jess is based up in Brisbane and obviously the Commonwealth Games were on, so I think he was quite preoccupied with a lot of that kind of stuff. And so when we've got, obviously, Israel Flower happening on one end and gay conversion therapy talk on the other, there was a lot going on, and obviously this week as well. So, yeah, no rest for the wicked.
Tess didn't know who Israel Flower was.
Well, I do now.
Well, interestingly, I mean, if you want to go back, dig into the archives, and a few people mentioned this already, but he was on the cover of Star Observer back in the day. So, yeah, that was interesting. And when he wrote his personal letter, I think, earlier this week, he mentioned that too as a way to, I guess, justify. He was kind of saying, I'm not a homophobe. I was on the cover. He was actually on the cover at the time.
I just think you should all go to hell.
Yeah, that was exactly what it was. He said, I believe in inclusion and I'm not homophobic to anyone, but I still stand by my views, which was basically gay people, yeah, if you're gay, you're going to hell. And he was against marriage equality as well, so, yeah.
And, you know, I tweeted and asked, basically, you know, Israel, okay, this is your view of LGBTI people. When are you going to make pronouncements about the fornicators on your team, the drunks, the violent, the drug dealers, the drug takers in your sport and on your team? You know, all of those guys with the errant ferrets, when is he going to tweet or do social media about them?
I know he's not paid to speak about this kind of stuff. He's paid to play football. That's a bit of a tongue twister. But it's still just one of those things. When you have a platform like that, you have to be wary of what you're putting out there into the world. And it's actually quite interesting and telling, I think, that quite a few people that I know on social media that have kind of called him out over the past week or two, he's actually blocked. So
Right?
Yeah. So it's interesting kind of how...
sensitive.
Yeah. A bit, wants to criticism. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, Tim Wilson, in a rare moment of sanity about this issue, said we all needed to take a chill pill.
Oh, right.
And, you know, that, you know, people can hold these views and it's about freedom of speech. I agree with freedom of speech. I don't agree about hate speech. Mm-hmm. And a chill pill? I think Israel needs to take a pill of some kind, anyway.
Well, it's actually interesting. A couple of the sponsors of Rugby Australia have kind of said, I guess, since those comments were aired, I mean, it's kind of divided a lot of them. Some of them have said, oh, we're not happy with this and we need to reassess our contract with Rugby Australia. And on the flip side, some of them have actually said, you know, we should be supporting everyone to have whatever view, like, you know, rugby should be inclusive of all views. That was the line.
Being inclusive of all views is very different to actually hate speech.
Well, exactly. And that's the obvious distinction to make, right? So I just thought that was interesting. And I guess at least the names of those sponsors are kind of public. So they can make the supporters of those places can maybe take them to task a little bit.
And Alan Jones attacked Alan Joyce, called him a hypocrite. So makes me like... Alan Joyce even more.
Yeah.
You know, when the parrot has a crack at you.
Yeah, I can see that you've got a list of things.
Yeah.
I think your list and my list might be a bit aligned, but I have to ask you about, what do you know about the sex ed sit-outs?
Oh, today?
Is it today, is it?
I know that there's definitely... Oh, sorry, you're right, sorry. That's I think, an ongoing thing, but there's actually... an extension of that today, Treasury Gardens, I don't know if I should say where it is, but at 1 o'clock, a group of people are apparently going to be protesting, hanging out there and protesting the gender radicalization of our children, and that's today.
Now this is political posting Mama and her group, isn't it?
Yeah. So they've got this site basically, which has all these quote unquote statistics, saying how, you know, by teaching kids these things, it's leading them down this awful, you know, path to sin, essentially. And she is aligned with that. But they are specifically, they've been leaving pamphlets in people's letterboxes, as they do. And it's promoting this protest, particularly today, which is at Treasury Gutter. So I'm interested to see the four people that will be there.
The four?
I'm guessing. Maybe there'll be more. But I mean, I remember, obviously, during the Yes vote, there were, no protests that had about 10. So, maybe there'll be more. Maybe I'm being naive. I don't know. But
look, if they get five, they can say they got 25% more than last time.
That's true.
Okay, so what you're saying is that it's a small group of noisy people.
Well, and that tends to be the case a lot of the time, right? I mean, it's one of those things where safe schools, even though we've been debating it for such a long time, a lot of states now have made their stand. Like, either they're behind it or they're not. There's independent funding, there's not. But there's obviously still a group of concerned parents that want to fan the flames, in a sense, you know. Mm. And I don't know what this will achieve today, but I'm curious to check it out.
And what do you know about PPM, Political Posting Mama?
I mean,
is it a real person?
It is, definitely, because she went quite viral. Like, maybe it was last year, the year before, for a video she posted specifically attacking safe schools. Mm. But even in recent months, I know...
She's not the pastor's wife, is she?
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Right.
What, from Salt Shakers?
Don't know.
She's like a fart in a taxi. It dissipates.
Oh, Macca.
There's actually someone in America who's not that dissimilar to her, who's also similarly spouting a lot of this kind of hate speech. And with Political Posting Mama in particular, I know in Sydney they have this drag story time event. I don't know if you...
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have drag queens who basically read... books to children, like a fun, you know, free activity. And she came out quite strongly against that and actually posted our article on her page. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you've got another four hits.
I was like, thanks. Actually, I think I wrote that too. I was like, thanks for the extra three views. But she was.
So they don't like fairies reading children's stories or something. I mean, really?
The most inconsequential thing, I mean, the way she... portrayed, and she says this about places like Minus 18 in the past as well. It's almost like in her warped worldview, teaching kids about diversity and inclusion is going to make them all of a sudden rip off all their clothes, and I don't know what she thinks is going to happen.
I want to change their gender,
exactly,
or something.
Yeah,
I mean, really?
It's nuts, yeah.
As if people who are having gender diverse issues aren't having a difficult time enough and have to put up with this crap.
And a lot of people, probably naively as well, thought, you know, post-marriage equality, it's like, okay, well, we've had this massive win, it'll be all right, but not at all. I actually think that I would argue, in my opinion, that... through the whole postal survey process, it kind of emboldened a lot of people on that side to feel like they could have more of a voice and speak out against the community, because I guess they had a decent amount of months where they were actually allowed to, like they were allowed to campaign against us. So I think that the byproduct of that is that a lot of people feel they can continue that hate speech.
You know, I thought when we demolished the fence that kept us away from marriage equality, all that's happened, all the termites that were in that fence are scurrying around looking for something new to get into, and they've chosen us.
Oh, that's, I love your lines, Macca.
It's accurate. It's apt, actually. That's a good one.
Termites, that's what they are.
Well, if you use it in some of your writing, you'll have to quote.
Yeah, no. Well, I'll give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, you can have it for free.
So a lot of what the PPM mob are on about is really about the trans stuff. Mm-hmm. The other attack on trans people came out of Queensland during the week. Now, what's going on there?
It was interesting because, not a lot of people were writing about this, but we noticed it earlier in the week because specifically the Queensland LNP Facebook page were posting all these really horrendous things about trans and gender diverse kids, because at the moment I believe the state government is kind of reviewing how sex and gender is... used in the registry of births, you know, deaths of marriage.
Because one of the things that needs to happen in each state and territory is as a result of the marriage equality legislation, there needs to be some changes to births, deaths and marriages regulations, particularly around trans people.
Specifically, yeah, exactly.
You actually have to do it.
I think they were given 12 months or so. And the idea was, so if a trans person is in a relationship at the moment before this change, they would have to divorce and then whatever. But, so it's around this. But because that's being talked about in Queensland at the moment, the Queensland LLMP are essentially just... writing things like, what have they said? They're saying, gender resources are disgusting. They've said, and I quote, we can't sit by while the radical left imposes their twisted views on kids' gender, trying to change our society. So essentially, the things they're writing, it's hate speech. Again, similar to political posting mama, not dissimilar to a lot of that kind of stuff. And we've actually reached out to them too to see if they're willing to comment about those posts and what they're saying, but... Unsurprisingly,
no.
Radio silence.
I mean, it's you've really got to wonder when you think about, you look at the marriage equality vote, and in Queensland, in Queensland seats, that that they would be running this line when, I would hazard a guess that the majority, if not all, of those LNP members, if they overlaid the federal. The voting in the federal seats on marriage equality onto their seat, they'd find that it was a majority of voters. So you just wonder what they think they're going to gain with this.
100%, and it's just so silly because it's one of those things where, again, I mean, last year during that process during marriage equality, obviously all the people that came out and said a lot of these kind of things were called out and understandably taken to task, but. It's well and truly past that, but it's almost like because of the they're talking about the births, deaths and marriages at the moment, it's almost like giving them license to then talk about this again.
Hatch, so. Match and dispatch.
So we are chatting with Matt Wade, who's the editor of Star Observer, and I wanted to take the conversation to conversion therapy. So what a big week it's been for conversion therapy.
Yeah, it's one of those things that obviously, I mean, it's not that it hasn't been spoken about before, but the state Liberal Party has kind of helped bring it back into public, into the spotlight again, yeah. As some listeners may already be aware, at the start of the week, or was it early?
It was last week, so it really blew up last weekend. Mm.
Yes, that's right.
There was a motion that was planned to be raised at the upcoming state conference, basically advocating for greater access to gay conversion therapy for parents in Victoria for their kids. And it was the motion was put together, obviously, by one of the more conservative branches of the Liberal Party. But as soon as that became public knowledge, obviously, a lot of people spoke out against it. And then the Liberal Party president, Michael Kroger, he kind of shut it down. Pretty immediately, so it won't be on the agenda anymore. However, that doesn't mean there hasn't been a ripple effect. So a lot of other people have been asked about it over the past week. I know the federal health minister, Greg Hunt, was asked about it, and he kind of said something along the lines of he's not for it. Like, he obviously is against gay conversion therapy, but, he's kind of defending the right for free speech again, which we hear time and time again, as we were speaking about earlier, Well, when does it become kind of, quite hateful, and when is it something that's just someone's opinion? And then also the Deputy Prime Minister, Michael McCormack, he was also asked about it and interestingly kind of said that he hadn't looked into it very much and so he had no view about it, which I find interesting because, I feel like gay conversion therapy is not one of those topics that you kind of, I'm not really sure how I feel about. Like, you kind of, generally feel one way or the other. So that was interesting as well.
I think my gut feel on that is that the Deputy Prime Minister said that. I'm sure he does have a view on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he said that so that he didn't create any more problem, or perhaps he just didn't want to take away from the birth of Barnaby's son.
Go, Macca.
A little beetrooter.
Well, baby, he also...
Baby,
I mean,
Sebastian.
Yes.
He also, obviously, back in the day, like in the 90s, he made some pretty terrible comments about the gay community. So, again, I mean, not dissimilar to yourself. I mean, I wonder if, rather than try to give weight to his views back then, which he's since distanced himself from, I wonder if he's just saying, I don't have a view yet, as you said, to kind of avoid anything.
You see, I don't know about all of that. I know people can change their opinions about things, but fundamentally your values, your core values, I mean, they can change, but...
Let me ask you, Tess, and then Matt. So in the last 45 years, have you changed your basic values?
I don't think so.
No. and
I
Matt.
I don't think so.
And Matt,
Matt's not 45.
In your 17, in your 17 years.
Yeah, yeah, no. No, and I mean, when I was obviously finishing high school and starting uni, like I learnt new things that I wasn't aware of before. But in terms of actually changing who I was as a person, not really, no.
No,
and
in fact, if anything, I'm much clearer about my values, and I'm much more hardened about my values. And my values are very clear. I mean, they're about equity, they're about justice, they're about transparency, they're about integrity. La-di-da-di-da. Now those things haven't changed. Mm-hmm. Now that means that I wouldn't say something that was hateful quite deliberately about any particular group. And in fact, I take it a step further and say that when I do hear hateful things, even in my private life, when I hear people saying things that are derogatory or discriminatory, I will actually pick them up. It doesn't always win me friends, but I will pick them up because that jars with what I believe in and who I am. And I do take that approach to every aspect of my life.
So it's a bit disingenuous, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I reckon so.
And the thing to note with Michael McCormack is that, like, the difference is, like, for example, when people come out to their parents, sometimes their parents might have never even thought about gay issues before, and they might be a bit, like, unsure, and then they obviously may change their mind. But with Michael McCormack, I mean, the comments that he made were very public back in the day. They were very strong and hard, it was a very hardline, you know, opinion to have. So it's a bit shaky, like, whether, you know, something that he felt so passionately about could do a complete 180, you know.
And the thing that's interesting about conversion therapy is that, firstly, it doesn't work. Secondly, well, there's no evidence that it does work. Secondly, every single professional association right across the globe has actually said, this does not work. Mm-hmm. This is actually bad practice. This is harmful. The Australian Psychologist Society have a position statement on it. The Australian Psychiatrist Association have a position statement on it. The Australian Medical Association have a position statement. Why is it that a bunch of people in some little community in the outer eastern suburbs think that this is the right thing to do?
Yeah. And
where does that come from?
It's when they ride on their ride on mowers on their acre property, it obviously shakes their brain too much, Tess.
But I also wonder if the people have this kind of entrenched or deeply felt phobia about gay people, I guess to them, and I shouldn't speak on behalf of them, but to them the idea of something that is a fix, like gay conversion therapy, they thought, oh, yeah, of course we should get behind this because if there's something that can, I guess, cure people of homosexuality, why not get on board? And I actually feel like, and I might be off the mark, but not that long ago, didn't the state government, the present state government, introduce some sort of watchdog for this?
Yes. Increase the powers of the Health Complaints Commissioner to search this out and stamp it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this practice cannot occur in any public sector agency in Victoria and will be heavily scrutinised if it does occur anywhere else.
I think they've got some unresolved issues. And, of course,
who's that, the state government?
No, the people putting this up.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, when you convert a petrol car to LPG, it never works properly.
Oh, right.
So this is the same thing, you know, like, you know.
I'm loving the analogy today.
Analogy, Macca.
Yes.
Now, Matt, I've got to interrupt because you have a fan here.
Oh, yes.
The lovely Catherine from St Kilda says, I could listen to Matthew Wade all day, smart and compassionate young man.
Well, thank you, Mum.
Is it your mother?
No, it's not. Thank you, Catherine. That's what it's very lovely to say. It's not my mum, I should disclaimer. Really sweet.
It is very sweet. It is very sweet. So what else is on your agenda? You've got quite a long list there.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, actually, one interesting thing I thought I would highlight just because, I mean, obviously it's queer and queer media and it was quite a big thing is the Star Observer's first ever female editor passed away recently.
Yes.
Yeah, so Barbara Farrelly, who was the editor in 1993 or so, she only passed away recently. And thankfully, I mean, the silver lining, I guess, is that her partner and her, who were both actually co-editors of Loddle at one stage, like Lesbians on the Loose.
Yes.
They were able to get obviously married in time before that happened. But she was groundbreaking in many ways. I mean, being the first female editor of a queer publication, the Star Observer in particular, she obviously won journalism awards during her time. And we spoke to quite a few people over the last week or so who worked with her, and they all sung her praises. You know, she was a really hardworking person who was dedicated to highlighting issues, especially back then, that weren't getting any coverage at all. So, I just thought I'd mention Barbara just because, I mean, we're working in the same industry and she was a pioneer in many ways.
Yes. May she rest in peace.
And I was actually going to mention as well, but you kind of bent me to it, was about the march today. But I'm wondering if I might swing by after Joy to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'd love to. I mean, I won't be able to because I've actually got to go to my very first same-sex wedding today.
Oh, right.
I'm really excited about it. So I'll need to go home and, scrub up and put on my glad rags and make myself look vaguely presentable.
So it's actually tomorrow then.
Well, Macca, thank you. I don't need that much time. It is my first wedding. I'm really excited about it. It's a colleague, two women. Who've been in a relationship for a number of years and they've finally decided to tie the knot.
Isn't it lovely?
Look, I'm beside myself with excitement. They said absolutely no presents, but I can't go without a present.
Oh.
I can't do that.
Give us some clue.
I've got a big bottle of expensive French champagne. I don't know what else to give them. I mean, they've got everything they need.
I think it's a much better way to spend your Saturday afternoon than trying to make young trans people feel like crap. So that's a far better spent weekend.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, while I'm at it, the other wedding that's taking place today is Adrian Perillo's wedding.
That's right. Yes.
Remember Andy of Andy and Adrian? So it's Adrian is getting married today.
God, I actually know someone else that's getting married, a same-sex couple that are getting married today as well. It must just be the weekend. I mean, this is like, wow.
That's very exciting.
It's reached plague proportions.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. Very exciting.
So next week, coming up on Star Observer website, what's coming up?
Well, at the moment, we're obviously, we're probably about a week and a half out from our actual next issue going to print. And the idea behind that one, and we've got a number of articles that we're working on. I can probably mention a couple. I mean, we're hoping to kind of focus on sex workers and the police, queer sex workers in particular, because they've obviously had quite a shaky relationship in the past. I guess the more and more criminalized that sex work is here or anywhere, the less likely sex workers are going to seek help from police when they're in a dangerous situation. So,
and they've clearly moved from off the street to online, haven't they?
Yeah, and actually there are some issues with that as well. I know that they've made some legislative changes actually over in the US, which is having ripple effects here, where I guess people who are, they're being censored, I guess people who are advertising their services online, some of the avenues that they did that are currently being censored. So I guess, I mean, decriminalization is, in my personal opinion, the way to go. But at the moment, the more and more criminalized that it is and the more and more people are doing it covertly, it just means that if something wrong is to happen or something bad were to happen, it's just they're not able to get the resources or services that they should. So that's one of them. We're also looking at discrimination in the workplace, people that I guess have struggled to be out for whatever reason, because we've actually noticed over the last few months, and not that this is new in any stretch, but many people come to us with stories about feeling they've come out at work for whatever reason, and they've actually had quite a lot of homophobic abuse as a result. So we kind of wanted to shine a light on that, because a lot of people probably think, everywhere is great now, like you can be out at the workplace, but not everywhere, not at all. So and there's more as well, but that's some
Matthew,
of it.
Thank you for coming into the studio. It's always fabulous to have you here.
You're
full of insights and you do great work. So
yes.
we really enjoy that.
And likewise, I feel the same way about obviously Joy generally, but also the SatMag. You guys are great, so thank you for having me.
Well, it's mutual fan club, and and of course, you've got Catherine out there from St Kilda.
Thank you, Catherine. Yes.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.